Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
UK leaders consider what's next after the resignation of Liz Truss.
Stocks look to snap a two-day losing streak to close out the week.
The U.S. weighs expanding its technology ban on China.
And Elon Musk reportedly plans massive job cuts at Twitter.
It's a tragic end to the search for missing Princeton University student. Plus, it's sentencing day for Trump ally Steve Bannon for contempt. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Yankees lost again in Houston, trailed the ALCS 2-0. The Rangers lost. Devils beat the Islanders. A big trade in the NFL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good Friday morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/tech.
And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 20 points, Dow futures down 116, NASDAQ futures down 93. Nathan.
Karen, we'll get more on markets in a moment, but we begin this morning in the U.K., where government leaders are weighing next steps following the resignation of Prime Minister Liz Truss. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts has the very latest from London. Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Political news moves fast in Britain at the moment. By next Friday, the country will have a fifth Prime Minister in less than 7 years. The Conservative Party will choose a new leader after Liz Truss quit, becoming the shortest ever serving Prime Minister in the history, plans a very short contest. If lawmakers make a clear choice, we could find out as soon as Monday. Former Chancellor Rishi Sunak is the current favourite with bookmakers, but the odds on the second favourite candidate have shortened considerably in the past few hours. That candidate is former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. And we continue to hear from current and former leaders weighing in on UK politics. Former Tory leader Michael Howard spoke to Bloomberg about the future of the Conservative Party.
The next 12 months are undoubtedly going to be very difficult and very painful. But after that, I think there's every reason to suppose that inflation will be coming down, mortgage interest rates will be coming down, and the Prime Minister will be able to say, we've been through a very tough time, but we've taken the right decisions, and now we're seeing the fruits of those decisions. So don't take any risks and don't let Labour ruin it.
Former Tory leader Michael Howard says he is a supporter of Rishi Sunak to be the new prime minister. He also believes that Jeremy Hunt will remain chancellor. Truss resigned after 44 days, making her premiership the shortest in UK history.
Staying overseas, Karen, let's turn to China. Tensions between Beijing and Washington remain in focus. Now the White House is weighing a further technology ban on China to include quantum computing and artificial intelligence. Bloomberg's John Liu reports from Beijing.
The Biden administration taking as many steps as possible to try to limit China's access to these emerging technologies. Quantum computing is still sort of an experimental field, but the implications for the future, how greatly this technology could affect the future, I think makes it an important point to for the Biden administration to focus on now.
Bloomberg's John Liu says it's just the latest of many signs the White House is taking a harder line on China.
Meantime, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says relations with Beijing are at an inflection point, and he's building an international coalition to stand up against China. Bloomberg said Baxter has that story.
Blinken says the key is starting with Taiwan.
The entire world has a stake in this, in making sure that there is peace and stability in, along the Taiwan Straits. The amount of trade and commerce that goes through that strait every day is essential to world economies.
Blinken says the U.S. is not looking for conflict with China, but that China must understand that freedom of commerce with Taiwan is a matter of survival for the global community as a whole. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Let's take a look back at markets now. Futures are in the red as Wall Street looks to reverse a two-day slump. Morgan Stanley chief equity strategist Mike Wilson thinks stocks may not have bottomed, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
The kind of final chapter to this bear market probably will be fast as well. If we had this conversation 3 months ago, and we probably did, I thought we could have this all wrapped up by Thanksgiving and maybe have a nice ending to the holiday period and say, okay, we can move forward. But unfortunately, I think it may, you know, linger into next year.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says we could see a reckoning of disappointing earnings in the next quarter.
Well, speaking of earnings, Nathan, we're seeing shares a snap tumble after its latest results. They're down 26% after reporting the company's slowest quarterly sales growth ever. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
The maker of the Snapchat app said third quarter sales increased 6% to $1.13 billion. That was just shy of analysts' average estimate of $1.14 billion. The social media company spent the quarter shrinking and refocusing its business, announcing in August that it was cutting 20% of its workforce and slashing projects that don't contribute to user or revenue growth or to the company's augmented reality efforts. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We also have a number of headlines on Twitter this morning. Advisors on both sides are looking to close Elon Musk's deal to buy the company by the end of the month. At the same time, Twitter is telling staff there will not be widespread layoffs. That's after reports Musk wants to slash 75% of Twitter's workforce. Kurt Wagner covers the company for Bloomberg News.
There are definitely going to be cost cuts at Twitter. I think we all know that layoffs are widely expected. I do wonder if this is a little extreme, right? What we've seen from Elon in the past is that a lot of his estimates have been pretty extreme in terms of what he thinks for revenue or user growth. And that could be going extreme in the other direction, too, with cost cuts.
Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner says the number of layoffs at Twitter may not reach 75%, but could still exceed other predictions. If all that wasn't enough, Elon Musk is also coming under scrutiny from the Biden administration. Sources tell us White House officials are discussing whether the U.S. should subject some of Musk's ventures to national security reviews, including the Twitter deal and his SpaceX Starlink satellite network. We're told officials have grown uncomfortable with what they see as Musk's increasingly Russia-friendly comments. Taking a look at Twitter shares right now, they are lower by 7.7% in the pre-market. S&P futures are lower by 17 points. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures are lower by 87 points. 10-year treasuries down 9/32. Now the yield 4.26%. The yield on the 2-year 4.59%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We are at 47 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the southbound West Side Highway at 79th. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A tragic end to the case of a missing Princeton University student. Missing student, 20-year-old Misrach Unity, was found dead behind some tennis courts on campus. She hadn't been seen since last Friday, prompting her friends to report her missing to police. Police say a grounds employee found her body with no obvious signs of injury, adding her death does not appear suspicious or criminal in nature. Thousands are expected today at the funerals for two Bristol, Connecticut police officers killed in an ambush last week. Officers from across the U.S. and in Canada are expected to attend services for Sergeant Dustin DeMonte and Officer Alex Hamsey. Services start at 11 a.m. Less than 3 weeks to the midterms, President Biden paid a visit to Pennsylvania. In Pittsburgh, he greeted Democratic Senate candidate John Fetterman, predicting that he's going to win. Fetterman, Pennsylvania's lieutenant governor, is locked in a tight race with Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. President Biden spoke at the site of a bridge that collapsed back in January.
By the grace of God, the school was delayed that day because of snow, and it was just before rush hour, so there was less traffic than usual. Had it been a normal day, it would have been much, much worse.
The bridge is now the site of an infrastructure package-funded reconstruction project. The Pentagon pushed back on Russia's denials that it is using Iranian-made drones to attack civilian targets in Ukraine. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We can confirm that Russian military personnel based in Crimea have been piloting Iranian UAVs and using them to conduct kinetic strikes across Ukraine, including in strikes against Kyiv in recent days.
The European Union has announced sanctions on an Iranian aerospace company. Steve Bannon is scheduled to be sentenced today for contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena issued by the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Bannon could face up to 2 years in prison, but the Department of Justice is recommending a lesser sentence of 6 months and a $200,000 fine. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi with John Stashaw.
All right, Nathan, two ALCS games in Houston. The Yankees in the opener had only five hits, struck out 17 times. Game two, four hits, struck out 13 times. Yankee pitching and defense was solid, but done in by one Astros swing of the bat, third inning.
Severino set just above the belt. And the 1-2. Swing and a three-pointer from way downtown. It's good! Alex Bregman with the long ball. It's 3-0.
KBME, the call. Yanks scored twice in the fourth off Framber Valdez, due mostly to Valdez committing two errors on the same play. No scoring after that. Houston won 3-2. Like the opener, Yanks had the tying run on ninth inning, and Matt Carpenter struck out as he has in all seven of his postseason at-bats. Game three tomorrow at the stadium. The Garden Rangers had a 2-1 lead but lost in overtime to San Jose. 3-2, Eric Carlson scored for the Sharks. Opening minute of OT. The New Devil, Andre Palat, scored twice. New Jersey beat the Islanders 4-1. The Knicks home opener is tonight against Detroit. The Nets host Toronto. Arizona Cardinals, 22 points in a span of less than 2 minutes. Late second quarter, back-to-back pick sixes. Cardinals beat the Saints 42-34. Jets and Giants both riding three-game winning streaks, and on Sunday facing 2-4 teams, Denver and Jacksonville. 49ers with a big pickup late last night. They traded four draft picks, none of them first-rounders, to Carolina for Christian McCaffrey, who in his last full healthy season, 2019, had over 1,000 yards rushing and receiving. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 21 points. Dow futures down 118. NASDAQ futures down 101 points. Twitter shares down 8.4% in the pre-market on reports of potential widespread job cuts and new scrutiny of Elon Musk's deal. We'll talk about it all next with Bloomberg Quick Takes' Alex Webb. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are dropping as Treasury yields continue to climb, with traders betting the Federal Reserve will keep raising interest rates and as investors assess the latest earnings reports. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down to 24 points. Dow futures down 137. NASDAQ futures down 107. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32, yield 4.27%. And the yield on the 2-year, 4.59%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 33 cents at $84.18 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.70 at $16.28.30 an ounce. The euro 0.9735 against the dollar. British pound 1.1113 and the yen 150.98. Looking at Bitcoin, down 0.3% at $18,950. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Now that Liz Truss is out of 10 Downing Street, another leadership vote has been triggered to decide Britain's new prime minister. Favorites include former Treasury Chief Rishi Sunak and House of Commons leader Penny Mordaunt. The wild card is former Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who was forced to resign by the party just over 3 months ago amid ethics scandals. In baseball, the Yankees are down 2 games to zip against the Astros in the ALCS. New York lost last night to Houston 3-2. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Islanders 4-1. The Rangers and Capitals lost. The Bruins won. In the NFL, the Cardinals beat the Saints in Thursday Night Football 42-34. And a huge trade. The Panthers traded running back Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers in exchange for draft picks. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Huge. Thank you, Michael. 619 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Speaking of huge, look at what is going on in Twitter. Just the last few hours, the social media company has had to tell employees it's not making plans for widespread layoffs, but that was after the Washington Post reported that Elon Musk could cut staff by as much as 75% once the deal goes through. And now reports this morning that the Biden administration is thinking of giving Elon Musk's deals greater scrutiny, including the $44 billion Twitter buyout. Let's try to sort all this out now. Alex Webb is with us, a correspondent at Bloomberg Quick Take. Alex, what do you make of all these reports?
I think it was inevitable that there were going to be some job cuts at Twitter. We know that he had to come in and find a way of making this business work. When you go to the Bay Area, I had some conversations with, you know, investors and people, you know, in and around the company a little while ago. Some people sort of said that actually Twitter is massively overstaffed given what its business does. It isn't very efficient. The big shock is the scale of the cuts that seem to be on the books. 75% is a lot. There are inevitably concerns of the impact that would have on content moderation and, of course, the platform security. But as a private company, Elon can sort of do whatever he wants. So the people you've got a feel for right now are Twitter employees who are feeling a great deal of job insecurity.
Right. I mean, we've been talking before about how poor morale not only is, but must be right now at Twitter. But I wonder if this raises some questions for you, not just about whether the company's being run efficiently, but about the money that Elon Musk has to put together to get this deal done. He's already said that he's massively overpaying for this company. I mean, is he going to have to cut costs just because he's putting so much money into this deal?
Yeah, particularly if some of it is debt funded, he's got to find a way of you know, servicing that debt. The thing that's quite interesting is Twitter's sales per employee are in the order of $670,000. Facebook sales for employee, like $1.6 million.
Wow.
So there's quite a big discrepancy there. Now, you know, does cutting headcount solve all the problems? Almost certainly not. It's also, there is a private equity approach, which is sort of slash then build. You go in, you slash all the things you think are redundant, then you work out the things you need. Now, we don't know that that is his approach, but there is scope certainly to make Twitter leaner. How lean? You know, we don't have the same access to the books that he might do, but he certainly thinks that a lot leaner is the answer, or seems to anyway, based on his post reporting, we should say.
Right, and we have also talked before about the types of changes Elon Musk could make if he does get this deal done, the X app, that sort of thing. What kind of changes to Twitter could we envision if it does turn out to be a much leaner operation?
Well, if it's leaner, then it probably doesn't have the same ad stack, right? A lot of the headcount of these places is all about building the ad product. If he builds something which is, frankly, a different business, subscribers or corporate subscriptions or something like that, perhaps that is an opportunity to make it quite a bit leaner. Now, if he's building it into the Everything app, this X app that he has mooted in passing, well, that actually requires adding more services. So it's hard to see how you do that with fewer employees, that you need to build things like a payments layer. You need to build a platform, frankly, that is easy for people to plug into. That requires investment. So, you know, it's hard to see how just slashing headcount in perpetuity creates that particular roadmap, which is why there's some suspicions that it would be slash first, build later, if indeed that is his real plan.
And if indeed the deal goes through, we've got this reporting now that the Biden administration could be putting Elon Musk's deals under greater scrutiny, including Twitter. I mean, he's already under a lot of SEC scrutiny. In our last 30 seconds here, what's the possibility that regulatory pressures keep this deal from getting done?
It would be a deep irony that it was regulatory pressures that were going to force the deal to go through. And now if, you know, this has legs, there's regulatory pressures that might put an end to it. The stock's trading 8% down in pre-market. Clearly, the market thinks that this maybe does have some legs. Should clarify, it's his ventures, not just his deals, because he has Starlink, which has operations in Ukraine. So, yeah, there's a deep irony at the heart of this. There's clearly still some way to go before they would block it.
As always, Alex, great to have you on with us. Alex Webb, correspondent for Bloomberg Quick Take, and taking a look at Twitter shares in the pre-market. They are moving lower, down 7.7%, putting even more of a premium on Elon Musk's $44 billion buyout offer. He had put it out there at $54.20 a share. Right now in the pre-market, it's at $48.39. S&P futures are lower by 22 points. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures are down 105 points. 10-year Treasury is now down 11 32nds for a yield of 4.27%, highest level in 15 years. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine today, highs in the low 60s. Will be mostly sunny much of the day tomorrow, mid-60s. It'll be cloudy Sunday, rainy by the afternoon with highs back in the low 60s. Currently 47 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers clients earn interest of up to 2.58% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. Visit ibkr.com/interest rates to learn more. Up first, U.K. government leaders are weighing next steps after the resignation of Prime Minister Liz Truss. Odds have Rishi Sunak, Penny Mordaunt, and Boris Johnson as the most likely candidates to replace Truss. And we get reaction from former Chancellor Philip Hammond this morning.
I'm not going to say until I know who the lineup of candidates is, who I think would be the person who will most effectively deliver stability. I don't think going back into the past and reincarnating a previous prime minister is going to be any way to reassure markets.
Former Chancellor Philip Hammond tells us the new UK government must avoid signaling more chaos to the market.
Staying overseas, Karen, tensions between Beijing and Washington remain in focus. The White House is weighing a further technology ban on China to include quantum computing and artificial intelligence.
Well, we look at markets now, Nathan. U.S. futures in the red after hawkish Fed speak and sticky inflation led to a two-day slump. Treasury yields are climbing, while most major currencies weaken against the dollar.
Well, poor earnings are hitting shares of Snap this morning, Karen. Snap reported its slowest quarterly sales growth ever, and right now the shares are down 27%.
And sticking with corporate news, Nathan, advisors on both sides are looking to close Elon Musk's deal to buy Twitter by the end of the month. At the same time, Twitter is telling staff there will not be widespread layoffs. That's after reports that Musk wants to slash 75% of Twitter's workforce. Kurt Wagner covers the company for Bloomberg News.
I would be a little bit surprised if he comes in, lays off 75% of staff, and that's it. It would probably be, let's do layoffs, let's figure out where we want to go, and then redirect it that way.
And Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner says he still expects Musk to make big cost cuts. And as all of this is happening, sources tell us White House officials are discussing whether the U.S. should subject some of Musk's ventures to national security reviews, including the Twitter deal and his SpaceX Starlink satellite network. Let's look at Twitter shares this morning. They're down almost 8% in early trading. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 22 points. Dow futures down 125, and NASDAQ futures down 102. 10-year Treasury down 12 32nds, yield 4.28%, and the yield on the two-year at 4.60%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 47 degrees in Central Park. Very heavy traffic in Fairfield. Southbound Merritt Parkway has an accident at exit 42. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Officials in Princeton, New Jersey announced they found the body of a Princeton University student who had been missing since last Friday. The body of Miss Rock Uniti was discovered yesterday behind university tennis courts. At this point, there are are no reports of foul play. The Pentagon pushed back on Russia's denials that it is using Iranian-made drones to attack civilian targets in Ukraine. The European Union has announced sanctions on an Iranian aerospace company and three Iranian generals over Iran providing Russia with drones to use in Ukraine. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder said Iranian forces are supporting Russian military drone operations in occupied areas of Ukraine.
We continue to see Iran be complicit in terms of exporting terror, not only in the Middle East region, but now also to Ukraine.
General Ryder says, though, Ukrainian forces have been effective in shooting the drones down. The two New York gubernatorial candidates attended the Al Smith dinner last night in New York City. Governor Kathy Hochul faces Republican Representative Lee Zeldin. Polls show Zeldin, who has made crime a major issue in the campaign, closing a big gap against Hochul. President Joe Biden was in Pittsburgh at the site of a bridge that collapsed back in January, now the site of an infrastructure package-funded reconstruction project. The president touted rebuilding the progress on the Fern Hollow Bridge, saying it's only the beginning.
We're finally getting to it. We're getting it done. We finally decided that instead of being ranked number 13 in the world, 13 in the world infrastructure. The United States, 13 in the world in infrastructure. We should be ranked number one.
The president campaigned for Democratic Senate candidate John Fetterman, who is in a tight race with Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. A New York jury sided with actor Kevin Spacey that he did not sexually abuse Anthony Rapp, then 14, in 1986. Trump ally Steve Bannon faces sentencing today for contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena issued by the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The Justice Department is recommending 6 months behind bars and a $200,000 fine. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Steshar is a Bloomberg Sports Update brought to you by Tri-State Audi.
All right, Nathan. Yankees obviously in a hole. To win the ALCS, they have to win 4 out of 5 from an Astros team that has not lost any of their 5 postseason games after Houston won the opener 4-2, a 3-2 win in Game 2. Alex Bregman, 3-run homer off Luis Severino. Third inning, Yanks got 2 in the 4th off Framber Valdez. His 2 errors on the same play helped the Yanks out. There was a fleeting moment, 8th inning, that the Yanks had taken the lead. A man on for Aaron Judge and a swing that looked like the 64 home runs Judge has hit this season, but it was caught at the wall in right field. Judge thought the wind kept it in the park. They usually have the roof closed in Houston, but they had it open last night. The Yanks in 2 games have struck out 30 times. Judge hopeful the hitting can come to life.
Yeah, we got a great offense. I think we just got to go back to, you know, what has got us to this position, what helped us win a division, and, you know, we'll be where we want to be. You know, if that's contact, if that's moving guys over, if it's, you know, coming up with that big hit, you know. We'll figure it out and be where we need to be.
Tomorrow's Game 3 at the stadium starts at 5 o'clock. Eric Cole will pitch. Garden Rangers lost in overtime to San Jose 3-2. Sharks came in 0-5. Devils beat the Islanders 4-1. The Knicks home opener tonight against Detroit. The Nets are home for Toronto. NFL, Arizona 2 pick-6s and outscored New Orleans 42-34. Big trade. Carolina is 1-5. Just fired the coach. And late last night, the Panthers sent star running back Christian McCaffrey to San Francisco. He was a star at Stanford, and the 49ers coach is Kyle Shanahan. McCaffrey's father played for Shanahan's father for 9 years in Denver. The Panthers get 4 draft picks back, but no first-rounder. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Once again, a very busy morning for Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with the social media stocks, the ones to watch this morning, and not for the reasons investors would like, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Some pain that you are seeing in our favorite M&A saga, which, of course, is Twitter and Tesla, Twitter and Elon Musk, I should say. Tesla also moving on the back of this. Several developments to take into account here, Nathan. I want to start off with a Washington Post story that said that Elon Musk, if he should complete the deal. And it looks like that is what is going to happen. He is looking to cut 75% of their staff. So you did see some pain in the stock after hours from that. But now the newest development here is that perhaps the United States is weighing security reviews for some of Elon Musk's deals. That does include his SpaceX venture. It also includes this takeover of Twitter shares. What that does for Twitter is TWTR, your ticker, down about 8.5%, taking it further and further away from that deal agreed amount of $54.20. It is now trading at about $48 per share. So some pain there. And like I said, as promised, Nathan, on the back of that, you still have a Tesla move as well. Remember, Twitter and Tesla traditionally move in opposite directions simply because the idea of Elon Musk split attention, what might that do to one or both of those businesses? But this morning, Tesla shares under pressure as well. Once again, on those security reviews risk for Elon Musk's deals, TSLA down about 1.1%.
Well, and as if an 8% drop for Twitter shares weren't enough, Creedy, the shares of Snap this morning are just getting crushed off the back of earnings.
Absolutely. One-upping the Twitter kind of
if
saga.
If you can put it that way, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Snapchat shares, SNAP, down a whopping 26%. They did report earnings last night. They're plunging on the slowest sales growth ever. The decline in advertising continuing to drag on those results. Now, remember, a lot of this is going to be from those macroeconomic concerns. I love to look at these advertisers because think about it. If you are a major corporation and you are not feeling so great about the economy, do you really want to put your money into advertising dollars when you know a consumer may or may not be willing to buy your products in a couple of months' time? Those are the kind of questions that a lot of people are asking when it comes to the advertisers. And what it does is create a massive kind of cut on their bottom line. Snapchat also, speaking of cuts, trying to decline their workforce on revenue generating projects. So you can really see we are in a kind of cost cutting mode when it comes to the likes of Snapchat.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is going to be pretty busy as well next week, I'm sure, as even more of the tech names report earnings next week. We'll be checking back as we do every morning at this time. Looking ahead to the market open. Futures are lower. S&P futures are down 21 points. Dow futures down 121. NASDAQ futures down 100 points. 10-year treasuries down 10/32. The yield 4.27%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are in the red today. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 134 points. S&P's dropped 23, while NASDAQ futures are off by 108. The U.S. 10-year yield at 4.28%. Gold is down 3. Oil is also trading down, and Bitcoin is lower by 0.3%. Hong Kong fell 0.4% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 1 o'clock, the Baker Hughes U.S. rig count. After the bell last night, Whirlpool cut its earnings outlook on inflation and falling demand, and Snap reported its slowest ever sales growth. Shares are down 26% in the pre-market. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, look for American Express and Verizon to report. In other news, the U.S. is weighing security reviews on Musk deals, including Twitter. Those shares are down 8% pre-market. Wrapping things up, Juniper was raised a strong buy over at Raymond James. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thanks. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukrainian President Zelensky warned today Russia may be planning to frame Ukraine for an attack on the Russian-controlled city of Kherson in the coming days as Ukrainian residents trying to recover from this week's shellings continue. President Zelensky is warning of a, quote, large-scale disaster. He says the Russians have now packed a major dam with explosives. Scotland's first minister called for an early general election after UK Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned following weeks of political and economic turmoil. In baseball, the Yankees are down 2 games to zip against the Astros in the ALCS. New York lost last night to Houston 3-2. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Islanders 4-1. The Rangers and Capitals lost. The Bruins won. In the NFL, the Cardinals beat the Saints Thursday Night Football 42-34. And a big trade, the Panthers traded running back Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers in exchange for draft picks. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen?
All right, Michael, thank you. 649 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes transferring easy. Leverage your associate's degree into a STEM-focused bachelor's. Learn more at njit.edu/transfer. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Japanese aerospace company iSpace is targeting early to mid-November for its first robotic lunar mission, which will send a lander and two small rovers to the surface of the moon. If successful, iSpace will become the first private company to land a spacecraft intact on the lunar surface. The world's population of wild mammals, birds, amphibians, reptiles, and fish have declined by more than two-thirds on average since 1970. That's according to a finding in a report from the World Wildlife Fund. The report says the declining abundance sends a grim signal about a decline in overall ecosystem health and tells us that nature is unraveling. And climate change is pitting wild mountain goats against bighorn sheep in the Rocky Mountains. They're battling over dwindling resources in the region. Scientists say the Earth's highest mountains are warming 2 to 5 times faster than the rest of the world, leading to receding glaciers and soil erosion and more interactions between the two. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. eyeing an expanded tech ban on China, including quantum and AI. The Biden administration weighing security reviews for Elon Musk's deals, including Twitter. And President Biden amping up the volume on student debt relief after an early silence on the issue. Let's bring in Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, as if tensions between the U.S. and China couldn't get even more fraught, now this great reporting from our tech team that the ban on tech exports to China could get into some powerful new technologies.
Well, that's right. This is a Bloomberg scoop, and it's one that's awfully important, certainly for this conversation, as the garden walls seem to keep going higher here, Nathan. The idea that, you know, China as a rival economically and possibly militarily shouldn't have these kind of technologies. And we're talking about not just the semiconductors. That was last time we spoke, right? We put some pretty serious curbs on semiconductors used for AI and so-called supercomputing. And that made a mess of a lot of computer chip stocks like NVIDIA that specialize in that stuff. This is a whole other level here. We're talking about, again, artificial intelligence, but also the very experimental field of quantum computing that they don't want China to have access to here because it's potentially so powerful and so game-changing. This is the type of thing that we want to keep right here in the USA.
Well, if this goes through, if we see this export ban expand even further in this way, what could it mean for the dynamics in the U.S.-China power competition? Could we see a scenario where different allies are trying to pick sides here in terms of where to get that leading-edge technology?
Absolutely. We have an economic Cold War. I think it's pretty hard to not accept that at this point here. And moves like these are going to be very important years down the road when this becomes much more common technology. Look, we're in a world here now where China is really changing its posture on Taiwan, for instance, and on its role in the global stage as President Xi tries to secure this third term. There's been a major Congress and conference that's been going on that took place over the last week in Beijing, and it's something that has U.S. officials concerned here as we not only have a hot war underway in Europe, but a cold one between our country and China and a lot of confusion in the Taiwan Strait. This is a story that really could continue to evolve as the United States looks for other ways to try to clamp down on China's access to technology, as we are in a race here, a technological race to dominate the world, frankly.
Yeah, and it's not just on a geopolitical scale, but we're seeing new tech scrutiny domestically as well with this report that President Biden might be looking at giving more scrutiny to Elon Musk's deals, including the Twitter buyout. I was just talking with Alex Webb on Bloomberg Quick Take, and he was saying what an irony it would be if regulatory scrutiny is what keeps Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Yeah, you know, even when you're the richest person in the world, you still apparently cannot always buy anything you want. And you have to remember, Elon Musk is just more than the guy who runs Tesla and has fun, you know, smirking on Twitter here. He is one of the most important and, frankly, one of the richest government contractors in America here. And we're not just talking about government contracting. It's military contracting. His company, SpaceX, is charged with bringing literally top secret hardware on behalf of the Pentagon into orbit. He's launching secret Air Force satellites into orbit. This is a very sensitive job. That's why they started taking a second look at Elon Musk when he decided to, you know, to share a joint on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah,
they said, well, wait a minute. What does that mean about his security clearance? And that might sound like reefer madness, but when you start seeing Elon Musk tweeting, you know, withdrawal plans from Ukraine, trying to put out peace plans for that are friendly to Vladimir Putin. He also tweeted this image of himself with Kanye West and Donald Trump as sort of the three horsemen of social media over the weekend. And the government says, wait a minute, maybe we take a second look at this. And that apparently is what they're doing.
In our last minute or so here, Joe, President Biden's been on the campaign trail. Of course, he was in Pennsylvania yesterday. Now he's going back to his home state of Delaware to talk about something that he really hasn't talked about much, even though you might have thought that it was, a political feather in his cap, this student loan debt relief.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting because this was a bit of a political risk. Obviously, it's something that makes his base very happy. It's something that he promised on the campaign trail, but it's also very controversial, and it's been deemed as totally unfair by his Republican opposition here. I will mention, just for the sake of fairness, the president did talk about it briefly at a speech this week. He got a big round of applause for it. He likes to kind of hang that out there as a piece of candy. But we haven't seen this coordinated push, this media push or campaign push to get this out in front of people, largely, Nathan, because they're not exactly sure how it's going to work. And there were fears about that portal being like the Obamacare portal. Remember, it didn't work when they put it up there. Okay. Millions of people are going to be requesting this stuff, and they have to get it right. But he will talk about it today in Dover.
And I guess there's some question about whether there's going to be much impact of this message coming out there with less than 3 weeks before an election and early voting already underway, potentially, with some of those college students he's going to be talking to.
Well, you know, this is why he was being accused of buying votes with this particular plan. He's being accused of the same thing with, you know, releasing more oil from the SPR with 3 weeks to go. But look, people who were promised this are aware of it. And if he didn't do it, it could potentially, I think the analysis is, have more damage on his standing for not making good on promises. Same reason he went after the marijuana issue that didn't quite get over the line that a lot of progressives were looking for. But he's checking boxes. I promised this on the campaign trail, and I'm making good on it before November.
Joe Matthew, host of Sound On, our Washington correspondent, as always, great to talk with you early in the morning before you come back, 5 p.m. Wall Street time for Bloomberg Sound On. Catch it across Bloomberg Radio and get more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. If you're in Washington, you can listen to us on Bloomberg 99.1, 105.7 FM, HD2. S&P futures right now are down 15 points. Dow futures down 71. NASDAQ futures down 86 points. Let's check Twitter once again just for fun. Down 7.9%, not fun for the investors in the social media company this morning. 10-year Treasuries down 10 30 seconds, yield 4.27%. Bloomberg Surveillance is next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. Have a great Friday. This is Bloomberg.